Welcome back to the Press Box here on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon in deep July, July the 24th. I welcome back to the show my great friend Rob Murphy down in sunny Florida. Rob, welcome back.
Gene, thanks for having me. I appreciate you reaching out and letting me know that it's hotter in Kentucky than Florida. It's a good day for Florida.
It's been an unusual summer here in the Commonwealth, Robbie. It's been a little hot, it's been a little wet, but you know it's never too hot or too wet to talk about horses.
No doubt about that.
You know, we're going to talk a little bit today about one of the world's greatest three-year-old fillies, and I hate to use the word great often, but, you know, in three races, Guarana has really kind of set the world on fire and got a lot of people talking, Rob, and I thought she would make for a great kind of in-depth look, not only at a race record, which is certainly both amazing and startling, but, you know, at her pedigree as well.
This is some type of filly I know you had seen her win at Keeneland, you know, by 14 lengths, breaking a maiden. It's like, okay, so she's on the radar, and then you get back, and, 7-8 weeks later, she shows up in the grade one. I mean, not too many horses even attempt a grade one in their second start. I mean, maybe some two-year-olds here or there, but certainly not three-year-olds and fillies running in a race like the Acorn. And then she's going to run against a Kentucky Oaks winner, one of your favorites, Serengeti Express. And Guarana was actually the favorite in the betting that day. And she runs the Kentucky Oaks winner right off her feet and wins the Acorn in just her second start.
You know, Rob, really it was an amazing race, that second start for Guarana, because I thought Serengeti Empress really ran well in the first part of that race and set amazing fractions for her to run into. And it wasn't like Serengeti spit the bit at all.
Well, she didn't. I mean, she hung in there for a second. But any race, whether you're going 6 furlongs or a mile or whatever, when you go 21 and change, 43 and change, everybody's being put beyond their normal limits here, and you think, okay, this sets up for a horse to come from 15 lengths back, but Guarana was only a couple lengths back, after a quarter and after a half, and then when they hit the quarter mile pole, in 108 and change, Guarana was right on the pace with Serengeti Express, so it was a who's best that last quarter mile, and the winner was Guarana.
Yeah. You know, that first race was on April 19th at Keeneland, Robin. I was at Keeneland that day and touted this horse in my picks, really not knowing much about the pedigree of Guarana, but just having the buzz around that she was training well. She didn't start as a two-year-old. This was her first career start. She ran that day at Keeneland going 6.5 furlongs. She won by nearly 15 lengths. And if you look at the chart that day, Rob, she drew off, obviously, but she was geared down at nearing the wire by Jose Ortiz. So, she went 110 flat for the 6.5. And, I take that back. That was 110 flat was for the 6. She finished up at 116 and change. But, obviously, that first race, she showed what they've been waiting on anyway.
No doubt about that. And something that was added to that race was the sloppy track. And as you and I have spoken about, even up to a couple years ago, the positive mud influence of Ghost Zapper. And
right. We
even dug into how the fact that Ghost Zapper ran the highest buyer speed figure ever going to Rally Ground in the mud when I believe he won the Island with a 128 buyer. So when you see a Ghost Zapper in the mud, it makes sense. And, I mean, she sort of ran like her dad that day. And, Chad Brown's been saying that this filly reminds him of Ghost Zapper because Chad was in the Bobby Frankel's barn when Ghost Zapper was at the track.
Yeah. And then in her last start, she wins the Coaching Club American Oaks Grade 1 race at Saratoga just a few days ago. Going a mile and an eighth. So she goes from 6.5 furlongs in April, goes a mile and an eighth in July. She wins, but not as, you know, not drawing off in that same kind of spectacular finish. Point of Honor did run second, got only be the Lynx. I don't want to focus on really the distance, but here's a filly that goes from 6.5 in April, April 19th, mid-April to late April, to July the 21st, and she goes from 6.5 to a mile and an eighth and wins. In her first three starts, she has two grade one wins.
Amazing. I mean, how many horses can you say that about? I mean, it's something that's we're talking about very thin air here. And, you know, the maiden win, you know, looking back on it with our 2020 hindsight, yeah, that the maiden win should have been like that. And winning the Acorn like she did was amazing because, you know, she beat a very legitimate Kentucky Oaks winner. But when I look at the time of the Acorn, Verona ran 133.58. She ran four or five lengths faster than Ruffian. Anytime you compare any horse within a zip code of Ruffian, you're talking about a serious racehorse. So you got this mile in the beginning of June, and now 6 weeks later come back in the CCA Oaks. It makes sense as far as the timing, the progression of distance. But I think Jose Ortiz found some distance limitations here possibly with her. I mean, inside the 8th pole to the 16th pole, you can find that looked like she might have gotten a little tired. She definitely shied from the left-handed stick, but she got the job done and held off a very good filly in Point of Honor. I can see Point of Honor being the pick in the Alabama on the Press Box website.
You know, that's a filly that we've watched all spring long. I really loved her when she was down in Florida this winter, Point of Honor, and then when she made her way track north, followed her along that trail. You know, Rob, you know, looking at Guarana, it's not hard to find the reasons that she has become, you know, like you said, when you can start to use comparisons or contrasts or started to put her in the same company or eclipsing, if you want to use that word, some of the records of the great Ruffian. But, you know, if you look at her pedigree, there's some real jewels. And I know that's something that intrigues you about these great horses. And what have you found in her pedigree or in her background that has intrigued you a little bit about Guarana?
The amazing part is that when you see any horse that's from a Phipps family line of mares, it's not racing for the Phipps family. It's like, okay, how did this happen? Well, this family, if you go back, we're back at five generations now. I'm talking about, you know, back to Mr. Prospector's first or second crops, the Champion Sprinter Gold Beauty. Here she was, a Florida bred from a Florida-based family. And she pops up, and all of a sudden she's Champion Sprinter. And Gold Beauty went through the sale. I believe she was R&A'd carrying her first foal by Nijinsky that turned out to be Maple Jinsky, you know, an Alabama winner. So we're talking about a grade one winning sprinter producing an Alabama winner. Maple Jinsky, her younger brother, ended up being the grade one winner de jure Champion Sprinter in Europe and certainly, you know, an amazing racehorse. And then Maple Jinsky's first foal was Sky Beauty. I mean, you know, how many races did Alan Jerkins win with her? And then the next generation becomes Pleasant Home, who won the Breeders' Cup Distaff for the Phipps family. So we go from Georgia Hoffman racing, breeding some of these horses, and all of a sudden our country place ends up being in the Phipps barn. And you know, it appears to be a private sale. You know, she was an unraced mare, but from the hottest female family of, you know, the 80s and 90s. And just grade one winner after grade one winner through the generations. And they breed her to, you know, horse like Seeking the Gold. Well, you know, who else should the Phipps breed, you know, one of their good mares or one of their mares that they think is one of their big hopefuls? And you get Breeders' Cup Distaff winner, Pleasant Home. So all these generations here, as good as they are, dollar for dollar, earnings per start, Pleasant Home was the best runner of this whole family. And these families have to take a break every now and then. And Pleasant Home has not produced her grade one winner yet. And so I can see where you could get down on a family like this. But to me, this is perfectly normal, where a family takes this break. And you look now, the first four foals out of Pleasant Home were all fillies. Three of them are stakes producers already, and one is not. And it's you find that here we are. This family is primed to produce more grade one horses, and the damn magical world, she's the dam of Guarana, and actually her two-year-old is already a stake winner in Magic Dance, having won the debutante this year at Churchill. So this family is one of those patterns that continues to repeat itself, and it's no surprise to me that you find a Ghost Zapper filly that's got some Nijinsky blood crossed through the mare producing a horse like Guarana.
Well, you know, isn't it amazing, really, the more that things change in our world, that some things stay the same?
No doubt about it. And horse business is like that. Sometimes it's just got to cycle around.
Right.
Sometimes it's got to cycle around. But it's great to see because, you know, when you get to compare horses to Ruffian, that's an exciting time.
Yeah. There's two things I want to touch on, and you mentioned really in a couple of these. But, you know, the this filly tracking back to Nijinsky. And, you know, much has been said about the Nijinsky line kind of fading from the modern day American pedigree. And that might be so, Robin, on the sire line. You know, we were talking a little offline about the sons of Nijinsky really maybe never really materialized as dramatic influences with their sons. But really, the female families are starting to reinvent or recreate or have that Nijinsky line reintroduced into the modern pedigree, I think, in North America.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a matter of, you know, the good blood is still the good blood.
Right.
How it manifests itself. I mean, we've talked about, you know, Nijinsky and, you know, we've gone through his, let's say, best-running sons and how they were at stud, and even a grand racehorse like Ferdinand. You know, he was sort of a one-pace, mile-and-a-quarter horse, and that's usually not what becomes a good sire in this country. And Shadid was a pretty good miler in Europe, and, you know, it's tough bringing a horse over here sometimes. They're hit or miss, but Shadid was from such a good Claiborne family. I mean, family of, you know, 49er and Swale. And then you get, you know, Green Dancer, you know, a European miler type. And every horse like, who's the horse that Del Carroll had?
Sporting Life.
Yeah, Sporting Life, yeah. And, you know, and then you got the Florida-based Baldski, you know, who shows up three generations later in the Triple Crown with the name Justify.
Yeah, and you know, Justify is interesting because of not only the Nijinsky boy, but kind of how it shows up very similar in ways to Guarana.
It does. It's amazing how it crosses back. Justify has actually got three crosses of Nijinsky outside of the Ghost Zapper in his pedigree, and Guarana the same way. And it's you know, you find you know, we've talked about on this podcast getting Seattle Slough and Fappiano to cross and the great results from that, and this seems to be like it's lurking as something really big, and I say lurking because, you know, if you just zip us back 1 year, you know, we're talking about Triple Crown winner, and it's one of the most prominent things that I saw in Justify's pedigree.
Yeah, you know, Justify being out of a Ghost Zapper mare, having the Nijinsky three times in the pedigree, and then all of a sudden Guarana shows up this year, being by Gosepper and having the Nijinsky in her yeah. background. I mean, this is a cross that's certainly kind of making a prominent reinvention here in the pedigrees.
Without a doubt. And it's, you know, like I say, getting the filly Guarana, we're going to compare to Ruffian, and we got other horses, and it's, you know, it's something that certainly catches my attention. And now, you know, if Chad Brown has his way and brings her Guarana back in the cotillion for $1 million back in the latter half of September here, maybe she goes 4-for-4 with 3 grade ones on her record.
Yeah. You know, what's also interesting, Rob, as you look back, and you and I have talked a little bit looking back, not only does the Nijinsky line and the Gosepper line seem to show up in how this pedigree has worked, but look at the consigner and the owner right now. I mean, obviously I know that Three Chimneys Farm today is different ownership than it was back in the day, but, you know, Gold Beauty by Mr. Prospector, in this female family, was consigned to the Keeneland November sale by Three Chimneys Farm many, many years ago, carrying ended up being a daughter of Nijinsky, Maple Jinsky. And so now Guarana ends up being owned by the new Three Chimneys Farm. What do you make of that coincidence?
It's tough to, you know, I'm not a big fan of coincidence. I think things sort of fall in place for reasons. But if you read how Three Chimneys acquired this mare from the Phipps, I mean, the Phipps family, they've sold Pleasant Home and a bunch of these daughters recently. And there was a connection where Doug Coffin had seen Magical World at the track when Shug trained her. And, you know, she was just a maiden special weight winner, but as I've read, a remarkable physical. And, you know, there was a connection, though, being Case Clay. And somehow those things just sort of tie back in together. And now new ownership has this mare. She's got 3 foals, and she's already got 2 stake winners. I mean, boy, the sky's the only limit for a Magical World.
You know, you mentioned Magical World, how it came that Magical World was acquired by Three Chimneys, I think, privately through the connections with Doug Coffin and others. This filly ends up not starting as a 2-year-old in the hands of Chad Brown, known to take his time with fillies and known to be really grass-oriented. This filly has not appeared on grass. I don't doubt that she could be a good grass horse as well with her pedigree being what it is. But she's been so spectacular on dirt. Does it surprise you at all that Three Chimneys chose Chad Brown to train this horse?
I don't know what their history is here, but everything I've heard from Chad Brown is how much this filly reminds him of Gosepper from back in his days being assistant for Bobby Frankel. So if he had the opportunity to see this filly at the farm and he makes a comment like that, as an owner myself, he's like, all right, boy, there's somebody that's got a positive feel for my horse. And, you know, Chad's results certainly stand on their own. I mean, it's amazing what he does, and especially with fillies. And his patience has certainly been well rewarded here. And him talking about going in the cotillion already, so to give her another almost 60 days before her next start, you know, should be a great spot. And, you know, in contrast to that, the 2-year-old stake winner out of Magical World, her name is Magic Dance. She's in Steve Asmussen's barn. She's already won the debutante as a 2-year-old, and she's 2-for-2 this year racing in Kentucky. So, you know, a little bit of contrast there, but look at the sires of these two fillies. Gosepper, More Than Ready. One's early, one's not as early. So they're following their sires here, and, you know, with great results.
Yeah, you know, far be it for me to try to advise anybody on anything, but Three Chimneys certainly pin out a trainer that knew and probably knows the line of Gosepper as well as anybody in the marketplace today, having been around him at the racetrack with Chad Brown. And obviously taking his time has paid off great dividends with Guarana. three for three, and not only just the three for three, Rob, but the way she's gone about doing it, as you have said, breaking her maiden by nearly 15 at Keeneland, but coming back and winning two grade ones in the second and third career starts, and having compared to the great ruffian, tell me your thoughts. When's the last time we've seen a filly this exciting as a race prospect, but also as a possible broodmare prospect down the road? When's the last time we've seen a horse be this spectacular three races into the career?
Yeah, this filly has it all. And, I mean, she's by one of the – until we got our Triple Crown winners in 15 and 18, I think Ghost Apple was the best horse going back to Spectacular Bit. And, you know, obviously Zenyatta was a great racehorse, right?
Yeah.
No question about that. I mean, Zenyatta, you know, she was a little bit later to start her party, and she certainly did a lot of things, and she just wore on it as a different horse than Zenyatta, very different horse. And, but then when you look at, okay, we've got this great racehorse here. She's by this top racehorse. I mean, Met Mile winner, Breeders' Cup Classic winner. I mean, you know, Ghost Apple has it all. But when you look at the female size, oftentimes you see a filly like this that's from a family that's light, let's say. This filly is so deep with grade one winners, it's unbelievable. And so you've got her being her generation of grade one winner. Her grandmother's Pleasant Home grade one winner. Sky Beauty is in the previous iteration. Out of Mabel Jinsky, previous generation. Out of Gold Beauty, the previous generation. I mean, it was like five or six generations in a row with grade one winning fillies. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's pretty exciting, you know, not only for watching this filly doing what she's doing, but this goes back to really Mr. Prospector's first or second crop, right?
Yeah, Gold Beauty was 1979, and she popped out, and it's like, wow, you know, boy, this got gold. This was part of getting Gold Beauty from Ocala to Paris, getting him to Claiborne Farm, and you know, we all know what his legacy has been since then, and you know, she was, you know, from this Florida-bred family by this Speedy Florida sire, and next thing you know, she wins the test, she wins the Fall Highway, she's run second to the Vosper against the boys, you know, later on she won the True North against the boys. I mean, she's really sort of like a Tawi, you know, a filly like that that can outrun the colts. You know, it seems like sometimes those mares, they can outrun the colts when they go really short or really long, and this filly certainly did it a few times here, and you know, she won 12 out of 8 starts, and like I say, we're now 40 years later, and this family is throwing grade one winners every generation.
Yeah, and really, this is goes back to the beginning, and the true beginning of the Mr. Prospector Northern Dancer success together. I mean, the lines of how they crossed, going right back to the beginning of how Claiborne and the Phipps family and others cross those Mr. P lines with the Northern Dancer lines that we see all over the pedigree today and all over the catalog pages at the public auctions.
It's been, you know, decades now that this is what the current day breeders have to work with. And it's like, okay, so you cross this and that, and okay, and then you try to outcross and reach back, and it's, you know, it's something good to deal with and something tough to deal with. And when you see it work, like a filly like this, it's like, wow, this is how it's meant to be. And, you know, I mean, all congratulations to all the connections.
You know, what would you think? And we're going to now project ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Guarana goes on and does, finishes up the year as well as she has run to date. If you put on your future goggles and hat here, who does she match up with in the breeding shed with?
Wow, you know, so you're talking about something close to my heart with the Ghost Zapper mares here.
Right.
And You know, we're talking about Ghost Zapper on top of Distorted Humor, on top of Seeking the Goal, on top of Pleasant Colony. It's like, I mean, boy, you know, you put a chef in a kitchen and you get all these amazing ingredients. It's it should be awfully fun for Three Chimneys here. And you know, the you know, when I look at these Ghost Zapper line mares that have been producing, there's obviously the success with Scat Daddy. So now since he's gone, you know, you could search for some sons there, but yeah, the best son is already out of the Ghost Zapper mare, so that's not going to work. There's been a lot of successful cross with Gone West and Elusive Quality, you know, so you're talking about Quality Road here. I mean, you know, he's the number one leading sire right now. It's off to a great start for Lane's End. Spite Sound has worked well with the Ghost Zapper mares. And then, you know, APND, Pulpit, Tappet has all worked with the Ghost Zapper. So you're getting away, you know, bringing some of that Seattle slew back. But when you're talking about a sire with Pulpit in there, you're bringing the Nijinsky back, which, you know, one more time, Cross is great with Ghost Zapper himself. So there's a lot of ways to go with this surrogate. They're going to continue to have a lot of fun with her.
Yeah. There's a certain sire that's standing over there at Three Chimneys. Rob, pretty good racehorse during his day. I think he went by the name of Gunrunner. How does he cross with this mare?
It's a logical thing to say, all right, how would your most expensive stallion cross with your best brood mares? And you know, when you look back at the Gunrunner, I mean, boy, what he did at the racetrack was incredible. I mean, absolutely. And, you know, here's a horse that's got Fappiano top and bottom. And, you know, like I said earlier today, how many times on this podcast have we talked about the Fappiano influence? And, you know, there's nothing here that would make you shy away from breeding her to Gunrunner. I mean, you know, he's from this old Ned Evans line of mares, and you know, you've got Giant's Causeway, you know, Candy Rides, you know, that you think of him as because of the Argentinian blood being some outcross, and you know, Gunrunner's a bright prospect, no question about that.
Well, you know, it's fun to sit here and speculate, but let's don't get too far ahead of ourselves. Let's enjoy the moment. And enjoy watching Guarana finish her 2019 racing seasons with many more wins. It's just such a delight to see a filly like this come along. And you know, when people say, well, the game has changed, the sport isn't what it used to be, and the horses aren't as good as they once were. And obviously, when you start to compare horses today with the Great Ruffian, you're getting in high cotton.
I know, that's the greatest part. It's like I remember, you know, seeing the results of the Ape Horn go up, and you know she ran really fast, and then you start looking through the books. You start looking through the records, like, wow, what Ruffian run in this race? You know, what's the stakes record? And actually, the stakes record prior to Guarana was a filly named You, coincidentally trained by Bobby Frankel. And but then you have to go back to Ruffian prior to that, and it's like, wow. I mean, that, you know, you just, when you're able to get that comparison 40 plus years later, you know, you're getting back. And so you're saying, yeah, the game's not the same, but boy, this filly is right up there with the, you know, possibly the greatest of all time. So it's great to see. It's very exciting for racing, and it's you know, should be a fun second half of 2019 with her.
Yeah, let's hope that the second half is just as spectacular as the first half. They would love to see this filly not only finish up this year, but have other races in her future that are just as spectacular. And really, there seems to be no limitation on what she can do, whether it be sprinting or going a route of ground. And who knows, with Chad Brown's affinity for having grass horses, you just never know what she might be able to do someday if she gets given the opportunity to run on the sod as well. But You know, it's not only fun to see these kinds of racehorses come along, Rob, but to be backed up with the pedigree that she has and the heritage that she has, the families that she represents. This could be a blue hen mare for a long, long time.
This family is filled with them, and the fact that, she's at a different farm now that is pushing forward in a big way with, the acquisition of this ownership with the acquisition of Three Chimneys and standing a horse like Gunrunner, and this success with their fillies at the track is going to lead to success in their broodmare band.
Well, congratulations to all those connections that somehow made this connection work. Going back, whether it be Case Clay and obviously his father having started Three Chimneys Farm, Robert Clay, and Doug Coffin, coming from one of the most experienced families in racing, with his brother Steve and his other brother Kerry, and just congratulations to the entire team that has been able to put this connection together and turn out one of the world's best three-year-old fillies in Guarana, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch her finish up this year, continue to race as long as she can, and follow her offspring in the future, Rob.
Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be filling catalog pages for years to come.
Thanks, Rob. I appreciate your time, expertise, insights. Anything, last words you want to leave us with?
No, we're all good. Stay inside in the air conditioning, would you?
I might do that. Might do that. Look forward to seeing you soon, my friend. And Rob Murphy, our breeding analyst, just came back from Kentucky, back down in Florida, where he, on his recent trip up to Fasig Tipton, he bought a Ghost Zephyr mare. And so he knows a little bit about his family as well. Rob, congratulations on your purchase, and good luck with that filly as well.
Thank you, Gene. Appreciate it.
See you soon, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.